Spring is in the air and Cactus League play is underway. We've got your full weekend recap and some big injury news pertaining to the Brewers. Don't go anywhere. Your news is on the way.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. This is Locked On Brewers, and today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is where the game starts. He's Vinny Rutino, former big leaguer turned broadcaster. I'm Dominic Catronio, broadcaster turned podcaster. As we are here for everything you need to know about the Brewers getting ready for the 2022 season, Cactus League is underway, Vinny. We got a lot to talk about from the opening weekend. Some updates pertaining to Luis Urias, an injury sustained to him over the weekend, and also a question about another infielder, Colton Wong, and something with to do with his future coming up a little bit later as well. But baseball's back. It's officially spring. It's warmer back in Milwaukee. I'm still down here in Phoenix. How's it been back home?
It's been pretty good. I mean, you know, it was in the 50s today, so, you know, everybody was shocked that it was that warm. But, yeah, no, I mean, spring is in the air. It's gonna kind of hover around there, and then it's going to get cold again. But that's the Wisconsin springs that you are coming to know and love, Dom. So
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in Phoenix. I don't know what you're talking about.
Last year, you remember them a little bit.
So it snowed once, but otherwise it was like 60 degrees every day, and I loved it. I thought it was, you know, I don't see what the big deal is.
Brace yourself. Yeah,
I know.
Because we could get a record snowfall or something in April, but hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, no, spring is in the air. Obviously, games have started down there, so there's a buzz around the Brewers right now, even though it just started.
And they're undefeated, by the way, in Cactus League as they go for the Cactus League title. But the Brewers open things up on Friday against the Dodgers. They tied that game against the Dodgers. No Freddie Freeman, not many of the starters in that game for L.A. Ethan Small pitched very well in that contest, though, as well. Then on Saturday, they absolutely stomped the Texas Rangers over in Surprise, 11-0. New guy, Pedro Severino, hit a two-run homer in the first inning, and the Brewers never looked back from there. And then yesterday, Freddie Peralta got the start for the home opener of Cactus League play at American Family Fields of Phoenix. And it was another great game for the Brew Crew, 6-3. A lot of the starters played that game. And most notably, let's start with the good stuff, Freddie Peralta. Man, what a day for him. Working into the third inning, he threw 40 pitches, 29 of them were strikes. He also got 6 whiffs, 3 strikeouts. He looked ready to go. What were your impressions of his start?
So I've continued to say this. I said it last year. I mean, last year was his coming out party as a starter, right? I mean, he was a starter a little bit in 2018 and 19, and then he went basically strictly to the pen. And then now, last year, I don't know if you remember, in spring training, there was still some question whether or not Freddie Peralta was going to be in the rotation, and then he almost wins a Cy Young. So last year's is coming out party as a starter, and I've continued to say, like, he may emerge as the best of the three between Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta. I mean, because he's continuing to refine his stuff, and the fact that he threw 29 strikes out of 40 pitches, this is something that is his next step. The next thing that he's going to figure out is how to really command all four of those pitches. That curveball looked a little bit sharper as well. So he's got the slider, he's got the curveball. He actually mixed in a couple of really nasty changeups too today or yesterday. And so it was, so he's going to continue to get better at the ripe old age of, is he 25 or is he still even 24, Dom? So, I mean, the guy is one of my favorite pitchers in all of baseball, let alone for the Brewers. And he's just only going to get better.
He's 25. He'll be 26 in June. And to your point about the changeups, he actually mentioned that post game, saying he was really happy with the way the changeup left his hand. He threw a couple of pretty good ones. But he also had some thoughts about the year overall, and that his goals for the year. He also told this to Sophia Minert on Bally Sports Wisconsin, but he also talked about the fact that he wants to be healthy for the entire season and make it to 30 starts and be there all the way to the very end. Granted, he only missed a couple of starts last year due to the right shoulder inflammation, but he's in all the way. So with Freddie Peralta throwing 144 innings last year, which was the most he's ever thrown in a season, to then come out and say, I want to throw more, I want to be even more reliable for your team, And again, on paper, I'm not saying this is the actual thing, but on paper, he's your number two or number three option. Most other teams, he would be your ace. Another example of the riches that the Brewers have at this position.
Without a doubt. And I love his mindset. And the guy is so fun-loving. So usually if they're that like nice players, I'm talking, especially pitchers, if they're that kind of nice and without any kind of chip on his shoulder off the field, they're usually not that good, right? But Freddie is that and then some. I mean, he's always smiling, but then he's a different cat, obviously, when he gets on that rubber, right? I mean, he is all business, super competitive. In fact, he needs to kind of tone down that competitiveness, especially in that first inning, until he settles in. But yeah, I mean, this guy is absolutely unbelievable. And again, he is going to continue to get better. And you said it. I mean, they are super spoiled with all the starters that they do have.
There's definitely a swagger to Freddie, and he had that working yesterday at American Family Fields of Phoenix. Other good news from yesterday's contest include Christian Yelich collecting a couple of hits, and most notably, Keston Hira getting a couple of hits, including an opposite field home run. I know you got a chance to look at some of his swings from yesterday, too, watching it from Bally Sports Wisconsin. And look, I mean, it's just a one spring training game. We're 3 days into Cactus League play, but even Craig Counsell mentioned it after the game. For a guy like him to see results early could go a long way. What did you see from Keston's new, with air quotes, swing that we saw here in Phoenix?
So it was a super complicated move that he kind of implemented pretty much his entire career. It was a toe tap back, then to a big leg kick, but he was able to figure it out. I think he may have complicated things for himself. And once you start to complicate things with the swing, you're kind of done, right? I mean, especially with something that has that many moving parts. So what did he do? He just kind of went into the lab, or just went into the cage this offseason. He just kind of simplified things. So he's just going to that same leg kick. It's probably a little bit less, high, but it's just a leg kick into the swing. And I think it's probably going to simplify things for him. It looked like he was seeing the ball a bit better. He's a little bit more on balance, but it kind of just looked like he was freed up a little bit mentally, right? And I know it's spring training, but it is definitely, definitely a good sign, especially knowing that this kid is super talented, right? I mean, he can juice a ball to right center as far as anybody in the game, and he's just 5'10", 5'11", pretty much average strength, but the kid has got talent. He can hit a ball as far as Mike Stanton can to right field. That's not hyperbole. I've seen him go upper deck oppo, and it's super impressive from such a small body. So if he can get freed up and use those great hands that he's got, I mean, the Brewers are going to have something there.
And it was a vintage type, and vintage is only 2 years ago, really, but where he let a fastball travel, he hit it to right field on a pitch that you wouldn't necessarily automatically think to hit the right field. It was more of a middle mistake elevated in the zone. And to your point with the hands, those are what the best hitters have. They have patient hands, and they're able to flip those hands to get it, you know, to right field as opposed to trying to jump out in front and try to yank that ball. Those are the ones you end up seeing pop-ups, and maybe those are the ones that we saw swings and misses last year for Keston as well.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, I think he was just, and it looked like, and same with Yelich, I know we're going to get into him, is they're just into their own heads a little bit. So the ball's coming at 100 miles an hour, 95 to 100 for most of these pitchers nowadays, especially guys coming out of the bullpen, and you're trying to hit fastball, slider, you know, curveball, changeup against these dudes, and you're thinking about your move and when you have to start your move. You got to throw that all out the window, keep it simple, and use those great hands that God gave these guys, and then go from there. That's going to be the key for both of those dudes.
And Yelich kept things, you know, pretty simple for him today. A couple of singles, one hit harder than the other off of Chris Paddock. It's just another day with another hit for him. He had another hit in the opener as well on Friday against the Dodgers, and an RBI in that game too. It's early. Positive signals.
Positive signals. And for me, what it looks like he's doing, he's kind of quieted that leg kick down a little bit as well. He's not getting into that crunch as much, right? And it's just like, look, you're one of the best hitters on the planet. I mean, seriously, the guy was in the second half of 2018 and then all of 2019. I'm not, again, not hyperbole, one of the best hitters on the planet. The things that I saw this dude do against guys like Craig Kimbrell, going center field at Wrigley Field off a nasty slider, like, it's like your jaw drops because it's so good. He still has that in him. And those are his God-given hands that he's just got to free himself up and use them. And we've seen that last couple days here in Cactus League play.
So Christian Yelich and Keston Hira have good days in a 6-3 win yesterday over the Padres. And we've got more of the bad news of spring training to get to here in just a moment. Before we do that, tell you about our friends at BetOnline, today's presenting sponsor. Of course, it is March. You know what that means. College basketball's big tournament is finally upon us. For all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for scores, podcasts, and news as well. And not just basketball. BetOnline has you covered for your continued source of your favorite sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile phone to learn more about the trends and get in on the action. BetOnline is where the game starts. If you were watching on Saturday, or listening, I should say, there was no video on Saturday against the Rangers, you would have heard that Luis Urias was rounding second, heading for third, getting waved home, and then he pulled up at third base. The news was a left quad issue. He was pulled from the game on Saturday. There was no firm timetable at the exit of the game on Saturday. Then Sunday, we got word yesterday from Craig Counsell. They're expecting 2 weeks minimum for Urias to be out, and it would be not quite a guarantee, but it's aggressively, optimistically thinking that he would be ready for opening day, which, quite frankly, being in the room, didn't sound like it was all that likely. He is undergoing further tests. We should hear those results either today or tomorrow, but immediate reaction is, okay, yeah, next man up kind of mentality, but this is a big loss for a guy that came into camp in great shape.
He looked svelte is the word I would use. I mean, he looked like – I was like, Avisel Garcia's back? I mean, he really looked that big and that put together. And so, yeah, look, the Brewers are expecting, and we're all expecting big things out of Luis Urias and his – kind of, I guess, sophomore. I mean, this is his third year now with the crew, but really, I don't count 2020 at all. So his sophomore season as a, you know, a full season with the Brewers, especially coming off that great year, and they need a third baseman. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you definitely want to get that quad right. You do not want to have these nagging soft tissue things because that can affect your play on the field big time. We saw that with Willy Adames last year after he did pull that quad as well. And it really did affect him down the stretch and in the playoffs, I thought, from Willy Adames. So got to get it right. There's plenty of time, and that's the hardest thing as a player, especially knowing that you want to get back on the field. You want to prove kind of what you did last year. You don't want any hangups. And there is that aspect of an injury, especially soft tissue injury, that's probably not going to sit well with Luis, but he's got to be patient and get this thing right.
He's entering his age 25 season. So if there is a silver lining, you figure he would be able to heal quickly. He doesn't play a speed position where you would need him to dead sprint in the outfield. Granted, he can run pretty well on the base paths. It's one of the things that if you're going to catch something like this, you want to catch it now. I mean, if he misses opening day, it would stink in the moment. But in 3 months' time, if we're looking back saying, oh, hey, remember when Urias missed a week because of his quad at the start of the year? I think everybody would be perfectly fine with that because it's like the old golf joke of, would you rather make a double bogey on the first hole or the last hole? And in this case, Luis Urias has made a double bogey on the first hole. There's still time to fix things.
Plenty of time to fix things, and you just got to get it right. You definitely don't want this thing to be nagging and have to wrap it every day, especially when it's cold, right? And you're going to be playing in some cold ballparks, especially in April, even into May. We've been joking about the weather here in the Midwest, but it is something you're definitely going to want to, you know, take extra time, right, and get the thing right and come back and be the Luis Urias you were last year and, you know, help the team get back to the playoffs.
I mean, each of the first four road trips are outdoor traditionally cold weather first month cities, with going down to Wrigley, going to Baltimore, going to Philadelphia, and going to Pittsburgh, you know, for the first month of the season. I mean, that's not great for somebody trying to heal up a leg. And of course, we play indoors out in Milwaukee, so something to keep in mind moving forward. But then the question shifts to who replaces him. And yesterday we saw Mike Brasso hit a ball over the batter's eye in straightaway center at American Family Fields of Phoenix. That was a bomb yesterday. He got a chance to chat with Sophia Minard as well, and he's excited to be in Milwaukee. He's the instant pencil into third base, but is there anything else that, I mean, whether it's Brasso or Jace Peterson, what do you make of the current situation at third base?
Couple of things. First, my first thought came to mind was Jace Peterson. He deserves an everyday shot at it, especially early, but they could also just kind of platoon Brasso and Peterson. I haven't seen much of Brasso. I did see it, that home run he hit today. Super compact, short swing. I actually love the approach. He could probably do a great job. And then I'm guessing the Brewers would probably just deploy some sort of platoon situation, lefty-righty matchups, for these guys to play third base. But both are very capable defenders in terms of Peterson and Brasso. The other thing is what you do hear, or what I did read today from counsel, is that Luis Urias is the best backup option at shortstop. So that is interesting. And so who mans that role? We'll see. Maybe Pablo Reyes, if he's on the team, or obviously Brasso or Peterson. I always thought Peterson was a capable shortstop whenever I saw him in previous years. But, you know, we'll see what happens in that situation.
And when it comes to Pablo, I should mention also, we say Brasso hits a home run. Pablo made an epic diving stop today. I don't know if you saw that. Epic diving stop to his right, got up and got the out at first, and Adam McAlvey kind of looked at each other like, whoa, he can seriously glove it over there at third base, and he's throwing his hat in that ring. Even Craig Counsell gave it some praise after the game too, but you know, it's going to be interesting to see, and it all depends once we get firm testing back on Urias to see what exactly is the diagnosis, what will that timeline look like, because it is still an estimation from counsel yesterday saying 2 weeks minimum. It's just an estimation right now. We'll see what happens as far as could it be something a little more serious, could be something maybe even less serious, who knows, but at this point, third base seems to be up in the air, one of the only spots up in the air right now on the opening day roster for Milwaukee.
You wonder if they're going to make a move, especially considering the fact that Urias was the backup shortstop as well. So you wonder if they are going to make a move for a glove-first type of guy, although I do think Pablo Reyes is that guy, and he is on the 40-man roster. So the other thing is I'm wondering if they took an MRI. Believe it or not, they take MRIs for everything, you know, nowadays, you know, any kind of pulled muscle, just to see what kind of grade that injury is. Again, you do not want to be messing around with soft tissue stuff, especially this early. So hopefully it is just a grade one strain, and that does take a couple of weeks or more. So definitely hope it's not a grade two, because that can get into, you know, lingering territory, a month, stuff like that. So it sounds like it's just a grade one. Hopefully that's all it is.
So we'll keep an eye out for Luis Urias updates this week and the rest of Cactus League play. Before we get to our final segment, a light mailbag this week, but we had a good one asking about Colton Wong and what his future could look like with the Brewers. Before we do that, tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Here we are. If your New Year's resolution is struggling as far as eating healthy goes, well, hey, kick it back into gear with Built Bar. You can try their awesome puffs. If you haven't tried these puffs, you're really missing out. It's a protein-infused marshmallow treat. They're fluffy and marshmallowy, if that's even a word. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate, just like the Built Bars are. The puffs have their own flavors. They're cinnamon churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, and it's still healthy for you. I mean, the Built Bars themselves have great macros. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to like a candy bar, which has like double the calories and 30 grams of sugar. It's a no-brainer. Replace your sweet treats with Built Bars. You can see their entire lineup at Built.com, and we've got an offer for you as well. Use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, at Built.com, BUILT.com, to get 15% off your order. So use that promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com, and you're getting 15% off from our friends at Built. So normally Mondays we do Mailbag Monday, a light one this week. It was obviously dominated by Luis Urias news. But let's talk about one question we got asking about the future of Colton Wong. It was a question from Michael saying, I really don't want to see him leave. I believe this is his last year on his contract, which is not the case. I'm explaining in a moment. What do you think the crew does with him, and do you see him getting an extension? So let's get the contract thing out of the way first. There's a team option next year. So it's $10 million if the team vests that option, or it's a $2 million buyout of Colton Wong. So he could be a free agent next year, but there is a team option on him for $10 million. He's getting paid $8.5 million this year. And in my personal opinion, if you provide, just like he did last year, or maybe even more, I mean, he only played 116 games last year. If he's a full year healthy and provides generally increased numbers out of your leadoff spot, I don't see why you wouldn't exercise that team option.
And it gives you an opportunity, if they do exercise that option, it gives you an opportunity to develop and not need Bryce Terang to step in and play second base every day for you, or find somebody else. I agree with you. 3.3 WAR according to Baseball Reference in 2021. That's worth a heck of a lot more than $10 million on today's market, especially at second base, and a guy that plays defense like he does. So this is probably a no-brainer. Considering, I mean, obviously stay healthy and continue to pretty much just do what he did last year. And he's taken a step. Last year, he took a step in terms of power. How many leadoff homers did he hit? Not to put you on the spot there, Dom, because I know you're going to probably come up with that in about
0.3 seconds. Pretty sure it was 8. I'm going to double check for you.
Yeah, I think that number kind of sticks out in my head as well. So, I mean, he did a great job of being the spark plug at the top of the top of the lineup. And then obviously playing that great defense at second base. He made how many great plays did he make last year to save outs? And so, yeah, to me, no brainer, $10 million, pick it up. I don't think they'll extend him just because they do have Terang waiting in the wings.
I agree with you on the extension. I think you get what you originally signed up for with him and then see where you stand in 2024. But to answer the question, it was 7 leadoff home runs last season with the Brewers. And remember, there are entire seasons that he had fewer homers than that. So it goes back to the philosophy that the Brewers have told him and he's talked about, saying, hey, the Cardinals didn't exactly want me, you know, being aggressive and showing off my power while I was in St. Louis, whereas now I'm in a leadoff spot, and the Brewers have basically told him, hey, if you get a pitch to drive, drive it. You don't need to be this contact slap leadoff hitter, put it on the ground and run. No, like, if you see a pitch to drive, drive it. And it really paid off for him. He had a career year last year as far as the power goes, a career high 447 slugging, which was 30 points better than he's ever had, a 783 OPS, his second best ever. He should have been a Gold Glover, in my opinion, but he missed too many games, probably in the eyes of the voters. Again, as you mentioned, a 3.3 WAR player. If he produces that again this year with Gold Glove defense, playing in more than 135 games, 140 games, he's worth way more than that. And so to have the team option, the option to bring him back, I think you do it.
Yeah, and so I love that you pointed the fact out that he was kind of the reins were held back on him in St. Louis. They wanted him to slap the ball the other way. He kind of hit with dead hands. Brewers tapped into the ability to kind of like keep the hands moving all the way through the load, and then he was able to kind of just be quicker on that inside pitch. You saw him a bunch juice some balls up and in before you could get him out there, especially with velocity. You could just pound him up and in, and because his approach and again, the dead hands that he was hitting from, dead hands meaning kind of still hands, and the approach of slapping the ball the other way, he would never be able to drive and juice that ball to right center and to right field that he did last year and hit a bunch of 7 leadoff homers. And I bet a bunch of those were on that pitch up and in. Again, he kept the hands moving, and then he got the pitch out of there. Looking forward to seeing more of that from Colton, because that was a change that was kind of made middle of the year for him, or maybe earlier part of the year, that he was able to make that adjustment to his swing. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of that from Colton Wong.
And to your point, I'm just clicking around on Baseball Savant live as we speak. Of his 14 home runs, 5 of them came from middle in, up and in, and even up and in out of the zone. So five of his 14 home runs at exactly the spot that you're talking about, where he gets happy. It feels like all of his leadoff homers were in that spot too, but that's his happy spot. Up and in, and then also middle away. Those were his two happy spots for Colton Wong. And man, I'd love to see a full, healthy season for him. He's also got that new dad strength. Don't forget about that. That's a real thing, man.
That is a real thing. That is a real, real thing. So I think he's going to have a really good year. And I think a bunch of dudes are going to take a step for the Brewers this year.
It will be a lot of fun to watch. We got a lot more to talk about all week long. We are back to 5 days a week episodes. Let's talk about tonight. The Brewers are playing a night game out in Scottsdale, taking on the Giants. That game will also be available on MLB TV and on radio on WTMJ. Got a chance to chat with Lane and with Josh Maurer yesterday. We will have Josh coming on the pod here soon this week to introduce Brewers fans to the newest radio voice of your Brewers. So he'll be coming on later this week. So again, a night game tonight, 9:05 Central, 7:05 here in Arizona. Then they're back at American Family Fields of Phoenix on Tuesday against the White Sox. That'll be a day game again, a 1:10 Arizona, 3:10 Central time. So that's just a quick peek at the next 2 days. We are back tomorrow morning recapping the night game. Vinny, thanks for joining us, man, and stay warm, okay?
Yeah, I will. Thanks, Dom. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, we got more to come this week. Don't go anywhere. Locked On Brewers is your one-stop shop for everything you need, Brewers. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.